Scripture reading this evening is from Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Leviticus chapter 10, first three verses. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord had said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace.
Thank you, Don. This evening, I wanted to talk about how God is to be honored. And in the English Standard Version, I think Don is using, it said glorified, which is the same thing, basically, isn't it? The idea of honoring God, honoring Him with our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. When we go back to the story of Nadab and Abihu, we often have used it, in my experience in the church, to explain the necessity of having authority before we do something. Tonight, I hope to use it a little bit different than that. It's not wrong to use it to talk about authority, but I would like also for us to see what we find in this passage about the importance of giving honor to God. So we find in Leviticus chapter 8, all through chapter 8 and into chapter 9, a time when the first priesthood of Levitical system just simply meaning the law, and in specifically the law of Moses, the idea that God had given to Moses on Mount Sinai, those Ten Commandments and about 613 statutes and ordinances. And in order for men to be priest and to carry out the ministry of a priest in the tabernacle that they had just completed building, God wanted those men to be in a holy state of mind. He wanted their bodies clean. He wanted their minds clean. He wanted their full attention on what they were doing. He wanted them to be trained and prepared and equipped. He wanted them to wear the right garments. The high priest would wear the ephod. There would be various things that they had that we don't have to do things that we don't do. And God wanted it all done according to His commandment. And the bottom line, when people didn't do that, God understood that He wasn't being honored. And people suffered because of it, because He wants us to honor Him. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments and the anointing oil and the bowl of the sin offering and the two rams and the basket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the doorway of the tent of meeting." That's the tabernacle, as we call it. It preceded the temple. So Moses did just as the Lord commanded him. When the congregation was assembled at the doorway of the tent of meeting, Moses said to the congregation, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded to do." Then Moses had Aaron and his sons come near and washed them with water. He put the tunic on him and girded him with the sash. Now, him here refers to Aaron because he is the high priest in this situation. He put the tunic on him and girded him with the sash, and clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod on him, and he girded him with the artistic band of the ephod, with which he tied it to him. So the ephod was a rectangular plate that had 12 jewels, one representing each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Very important part of his ministry was that he was there representing the entire nation of Israel, all 12 tribes. He then placed the breastpiece on him, and in the breastpiece he put the Urim and Thummim. These were things that we don't know much about that they would use when they would inquire of God. He also placed the turban on his head, and on the turban at its front he placed the golden plate, the holy crown, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses then took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. He sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all its utensils and the basins and its stands to consecrate them. Then he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Next, Moses had Aaron's sons come near and clothed them with tunics and girded them with sashes and bound caps on them, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. When we think of Aaron's sons, we often think of just the two that were struck by fire because of their disobedience to God. But he actually had at least 2 more that we know of. Then he brought the bowl of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bowl. As we get ready to study through some of the things leading up to the book of Hebrews on our Wednesday night class, we're also studying some of the things about the Levitical system. And we should take note that placing your hands on the head of the sacrifice can show that it's a sacrifice that you're offering, something that you're giving, and it also shows your guilt, showing that I'm offering this because of my guilt. I'm offering this because of my sin. And so I'm symbolically moving my sin to this creature that is to be sacrificed. So they put their hands on the head of the bull. Next, Moses slaughtered it and took the blood and with his finger put some of it around on the horns of the altar and purified the altar. Then he poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. He also took all the fat that was on the entrails and the lobe of the liver and the 2 kidneys and their fat, and Moses offered it up in smoke on the altar. Now, if you have ever been involved in, you know, taking an animal from point A to the table, you know that's a lot of work to clean all of that fat off of those pieces and whatnot. So there was a lot to be done, and it was important to God that they do it this way. He wanted every detail of this followed. Holy means set apart for a special purpose. The tabernacle is a place for holiness, holy things, holy people, holy procedures, holy instruments, holy implements, holy altars, holy place. Things that don't belong there are burned outside in a different fire, not within that area. Leviticus 8:17, but the bowl and its hide and its flesh and its refuse, he burned in the fire outside the camp, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. So God wanted all the particular pieces that he wanted inside, and he wanted the pieces that he didn't want outside, and there was a different fire for that. In laying hands on head of the ram number 1, the offering is to God from all of them. Leviticus 8:18-21, then he presented the ram of the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. Moses slaughtered it and sprinkled the blood around on the altar. When he had cut the ram into its pieces, Moses offered up the head and the pieces and the suet in smoke. After he had washed the entrails and the legs with water, Moses offered up the whole ram in smoke on the altar. It was a burnt offering for a soothing aroma. It was an offering by fire to the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. All hands on the head of ram number 2 is because this ram is being offered for their ordination. Then he presented the second ram, the ram of ordination, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. Moses slaughtered it and took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. You can tell they were wearing sandals there, right? He also had Aaron's sons come near, and Moses put some of the blood on the lobe of their right ear and on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot. Moses then sprinkled the rest of the blood around on the altar. So this ordination was something that took place literally from head to foot. And the idea that this sacrifice was being made as part of the ordination of these men to be able and allowed and permitted and qualified to serve God in his tabernacle. He took the fat and the fat tail and all the fat that was on the entrails and the lobe of the liver and the two kidneys and their fat and the right thigh. From the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake and one cake of bread mixed with oil and one wafer. Very specific, isn't it? And he placed them on the portions of fat and on the right thigh. He then put all these on the hands of Aaron and on the hands of his sons and presented them as a wave offering before the Lord. People aren't really sure how the wave offering was done, but it was believed that it was something that they held, so to speak, before the Lord, and then those things would be offered in fire. Leviticus 8:28 and following, then Moses took them from their hands and offered them up in smoke on the altar with the burnt offering. They were an ordination offering for a soothing aroma. It was an offering by fire to the Lord. Moses also took the breast and presented it for a wave offering before the Lord. It was Moses' portion of the ram of ordination, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. So these things that were offered as a soothing aroma to the Lord, we might ask, why does the Lord need so much soothing? And then we could look in the mirror and we would understand, well, you know, he's putting up with us. And so, you know, we grieve the Lord from time to time. And some of the things that we do before the Lord, he considers a bad odor, which even if you're not careful, you could slip into what he calls an abomination, which means a terrible stinking odor. And he prefers this kind of a thing to that. A life that's lived to his glory, a life that honors him, a life that loves him, that's set aside and is holy, is a good offering. A good odor to the Lord. So Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood which was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron, on his garments, on his sons, and on the garments of his sons with him. And he consecrated Aaron, his garments, and his sons, and the garments of his sons with him. So he's consecrated the men, he's consecrated their garments. All of that is holy. None of that should be now going out to the marketplace. It's here for the work in the tabernacle. Then Moses said to Aaron and to his sons, boil the flesh at the doorway of the tent of meeting and eat it there together with the bread which is in the basket of the ordination offering, just as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. The remainder of the flesh and of the bread you shall burn in the fire. You shall not go outside the doorway of the tent of meeting for 7 days until the day that the period of your ordination is fulfilled, for he will ordain you through 7 days. So this is a 7-day process, you'll see, of ordination and consecration to get these men ready to make an offering. And when you put all that into the context, then you could see why the thing that Nadab and Abihu did was such a serious offense. God was spending all of this time and effort and instruction to make these men ready to serve in the tabernacle, and somehow it didn't stick to Nadab and Abihu. And that's why it was such a serious offense. The Lord has commanded to do as has been done this day, to make atonement on your behalf. At the doorway of the tent of meeting, moreover, you shall remain day and night for 7 days and keep the charge of the Lord so that you will not die, for so I have been commanded. Moses warned them that these things that they were doing and hearing were deadly serious, and it was proven to be true in the case of Nadab and Abihu. Thus Aaron and his sons did all the things which the Lord had commanded through Moses. Now in Leviticus chapter 9, we see more of this continuing. Now it came about on the 8th day that Moses called Aaron. The 8th day, well, they've been going through a 7-day ordination where they haven't left the tent. So on the 8th day, Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, take for yourself a calf, a bull for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, both without defect, and offer them before the Lord. Then to the sons of Israel you shall speak, saying, take a male goat for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both 1 year old, without defect, for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram for peace offerings, to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you. Now that's a pretty interesting thing, for today the Lord will appear to you. This morning I was talking to some children about when the Lord comes again and how he hasn't let us know exactly when that will be. and how we might all be different if we knew that today the Lord was going to return in the clouds. Wouldn't we all, well, it'd be a super holy day for us, wouldn't it? I mean, we would forget all about future worries and daily concerns, and we would just be, wow, looking up in the sky and saying, come on, Lord. Or quickly running to make ourselves ready somehow. So the Lord was going to appear to them. And another thing in here is the without defect. They didn't go and take, you know, the coal. You know what coals are? You know, when you have animals that you don't want to reproduce, you don't want them to be part of the lineage of your herd, they've got a serious issue, they had a birth defect, whatever it may be, and you don't want that animal and you're going to get rid of that animal. That's not the one he wanted them to bring to the tabernacle. That wasn't the kind of creature that he was looking for. He was looking for something without defect. Otherwise, you're not really giving something that's special or important to you, but just something you were going to get rid of anyway. So they took what Moses had commanded to the front of the tent of meeting, and the whole congregation came near and stood before the Lord. Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. Again, the glory of the Lord is going to appear. Moses then said to Aaron, come near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, that you may make atonement for yourself and for the people. Then make the offering for the people, that you may make atonement for them, just as the Lord has commanded. Part of the role of the Levitical priesthood was that they were making atonement for the people and themselves. This was something that was important. And if someone realized that they had gotten into something they weren't supposed to do, even if it were just bad thinking, bad speaking, or bad actions, and they would bring sacrifice, seeking forgiveness of what they had done. So Aaron came near to the altar and slaughtered the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. Aaron's sons presented the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put some on the horns of the altar and poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. The fat and the kidneys and the lobe of the liver of the sin offering he then offered up in smoke on the altar, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The flesh and the skin, however, he burned with fire outside the camp. Once again, a reference to something being taken outside of the temple area, in this case completely outside of the camp, to be disposed of by fire in a different way, in a different place, not associated with the tabernacle. All the ordained and consecrated men shared the work of ministering, with Aaron leading them. Leviticus 9:12-14, then he slaughtered the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons handed the blood to him, and he sprinkled it around on the altar. They handed the burnt offering to him in pieces with the head, and he offered them up in smoke on the altar. He also washed the entrails and the legs and offered them up in smoke with the burnt offering on the altar. Then he presented the people's offering and took the goat of the sin offering, which was for the people, and slaughtered it and offered it for sin like the first. He also presented the burnt offering and offered it according to the ordinance. Next, he presented the grain offering and filled his hand with some of it and offered it up in smoke on the altar besides the burnt offering of the morning. So Aaron was made forgiven through the sacrifice that was given for him, and then he was able to minister to the others. And that's the order that it works in, that we also need to be clean before God so that he can use us to minister to others. Then he slaughtered the ox and the ram, the sacrifice of peace offering, which was for the people, and Aaron's sons handed the blood to him, and he sprinkled it around on the altar. As for the portions of fat from the ox and from the ram, the fat tail and the fat covering and the kidneys and the lobe of the liver, they now placed the portions of fat on the breast, and he offered them up in smoke on the altar, but the breast and the right thigh Aaron presented as a wave offering before the Lord, just as Moses had commanded. I know this is a lot of reading, but I'm doing it for a purpose. I wanted you to just take note of all of the little details and all of the things that they did, the things that took a lot of time, a lot of strength, a lot of energy, a lot of commitment to go through all of this process. Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them, and he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting, When they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. This is what they had been waiting for, that the glory of the Lord would appear. His blessing upon what they were doing in the tabernacle, because they were doing what he had said to do. Men who had spent a whole week being ordained, men who were consecrated, their clothing was consecrated, the tools they were working with were consecrated. All these things were made holy instead of being profane, instead of being ordinary, common things. Everything in there was made holy for the purpose of serving God, and God appeared to all the people. Then fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. God was happy that they had done what he had told them to do. And he not only accepted their offering, but he brought the fire to put on it. And then comes, all were ordained and consecrated, chapter 8. They were all present when the Lord appeared. They should have understood holiness. Aaron had four sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And it says in Leviticus 9, 23 through 24, Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Everyone there, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Moses, Aaron, and all of the people were present. When the Lord consumed that offering, there should be no excuse for anybody having anything other than holy behavior. But then, Leviticus 10, our sad story. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded. Of all of the difficult things that they had all gone through, the bringing of the animals, the bringing of the bread, the different types of bread, even a wafer, the oil, the sprinkling of the blood, all of those difficult things to do, something as simple as burning some incense, they took a shortcut with. And after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. Was anything really wrong with the fire? No. Fire is fire, right? Heat, friction, oxygen, and fuel. I mean, boom, fire is fire, you know. But the problem is they didn't follow his instructions. And if they didn't follow his instructions and it came from a heart that didn't honor him, that's a problem. They shouldn't be in there serving with a heart that didn't honor him. They would have been better off to have left town for good. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Seems kind of harsh, but when you put chapter 8 and chapter 9 with it, which took me a long time, didn't it? But when you put chapter 8 and chapter 9 with it, doesn't it make a little more sense? That after all they had been prepared to do, that they would do something so ridiculous, as something as simple as burning incense with the wrong fire. What, did they go out and get some fire from where they were burning the refuse of the animals? I don't know where the fire came from. I don't know. And it doesn't matter. The point is, it wasn't what God had told them to do. And here's, I think, the key to all of it. Verse 3, then Moses said to Aaron, it is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people, I will be honored. This is God's way of saying, this is serious. This is real. Before all the people, I will be honored. So Aaron, who had just lost probably what were his two oldest sons, probably, but definitely his sons, kept silent. What could you say? After 7 days of ordination and all that consecration, what could you say? When you know they did the wrong thing before the Lord, and the Lord is always right. And the simple point is this, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people, I will be honored. Maybe if Dan were here and he were talking about we've been noticing some of his articles he's putting on the Facebook about people claiming to have a personal relationship with the Lord, you know, and how we need to be careful how we express that and whether or not we, you know, not to go too far with that, that it, you know, like it's just me and God, you know, it's all of us and God, isn't it? And for some of the people who claim to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not even baptized into Christ. And on the day of judgment, he will say, I didn't really know you. Who are you? Bye. You know, and so we have to be careful with that. We need to remember in all that we do, in all of our service to God, in all of our relationship that we have with God through Jesus, that God is to be treated as holy and that God will be honored. God will be honored. That's the gist of the entire lesson. That's the gist of chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10. That's the reason that God, of course, always being right, but certainly we can see he was justified. Even a human can see that he was justified in taking the lives of Nadab and Abihu because they didn't treat him as holy and they did not honor him. So the bodies were removed and the ministering continued. And it reminds me a lot of, you know, Ananias and Sapphira. How could we not notice the similarity between Ananias and Sapphira, which we recently studied from Acts chapter 5? They came in and lied to the apostles, and they both ended up dead. And God will be treated as holy, and God will be honored. Not just something for the Old Testament, not just something for the tabernacle, not just something for the temple, something for the church, something from now to eternity. God will be treated as holy. He will be honored by all the people. Their first responsibility was to God. In his holy tabernacle, they were to serve and not even to mourn. In Leviticus 10, 6 through 7, then Moses said to Aaron and to his sons Eleazar and Ithamar, do not uncover your heads nor tear your clothes so that you will not die and that he will not become wrathful against all the congregation. But your kinsmen, the whole house of Israel, shall bewail the burning which the Lord has brought about. You shall not even go out from the doorway of the tent of meeting, or you will die, for the Lord's anointing oil is upon you. So they did according to the word of Moses. They were dressed in their holy garments. They were anointed with the holy oil. They were consecrated. They were ordained, and they were to stay right there and not let a tear fall from their eye. Let the others take care of the mourning. They had a job to do. Kind of reminds me of Jesus saying, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. In Christ, we have a job to do. And people fall beside us. People fail beside us. Family members don't submit to Christ. Various things happen around us that really trouble us, but we need to keep our eye on that fence post and keep right on plowing. God's goal was for them to learn to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, the unclean and the clean. Leviticus 10, 8 through 11, the Lord then spoke to Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or strong drink, neither you nor your sons with you, when you come into the tent of meeting, so that you will not die. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations. And so as to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, and between the unclean and the clean, and so as to teach the sons of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them through Moses. Maybe gives us a clue that perhaps there was some intoxicating beverage involved in the behavior of Nadab and Abihu, but we don't know that for sure. And whatever it was that caused them to go get strange fire, it was a turning aside from the commandment of the Lord. It was a situation where they didn't give God the glory and honor that he'd ought to have, and where they mixed the common with the sanctified. They mixed that which was holy with unholy with that which was holy. They mixed that which was unclean with that which was clean. I'll get it out. The point being, we need to know the difference. Be discerning, right? Discerning. That's part of the wisdom that we studied about this morning in James chapter 3. Be discerning so that we know the difference between what the world preaches and what God himself has given us. 1 Corinthians 10:11, I'm watching the clock. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Paul, writing to Christians, reminding them of the things that took place in the wilderness, reminding them of the failures that people made, and encouraging them, and I believe all of us, to keep going forward, keeping God holy, keeping ourselves holy in God. We get to be a part of all of this big scheme of things. Those people were Israelites because they were, you know, children of Jacob and his descendants. Jacob was a child of Abraham. And so we also are children of Abraham and Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:25 through 29. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. So all of these lessons that we've learned from the Old Testament are lessons to remind us to not have that kind of behavior ourselves. By those who come near to God, God will be treated as holy. And before all the people, God will be honored. May our thoughts, words, and lives honor God. If you have any need to respond to tonight's lesson, we offer you the opportunity to do so as we stand.